CliffCentral.com.
Ah, happier. There we go. Are you happier this morning? You feeling better about the world?
Yeah.
It's Wednesday.
So, Siv, you were saying?
Yeah, so it is. It's marshmallow with happier. Very nice. Siv and Gessie's here along with Alex Stone. We try to have them regularly when they're both in Johannesburg, mostly because we would have Alex more often, but we need Siv around to help carry him up the stairs. It's like Asterix and Obelix, really.
Yeah. I said to Alex, Alex, thank goodness you have a strong friend. He says, you make it sound like I bought you at an auction.
Oh. First of all, he doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, thank you. No. That's his go-to Alex impression.
Just because he's in a wheelchair does not mean that Alex sounds like a chipmunk, like the way you said it.
Sometimes when I do it, you say it's good. Sometimes.
So that you'll stub.
Oh.
All right.
That's enough.
It's all right. We've got Alex Stone, Siv and Gessie hanging out with us this morning. We've got Proudly South African coming in a short while. Sia's got some stories we must get to. Ben's also got some stuff. But Alex, tell us what your projects are and what you're doing at the moment so that people can have some idea of why you're here to talk to us today.
So I'm launching an organization that will bring disabled college students to Cape Town and Johannesburg for 8 weeks at a time for internships.
It's almost like a rotary sort of thing. You have those exchange student situations, but it's for disabled students from America to come here.
All over the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All over the world.
Yeah, it's open to any college students.
All right. How can people get involved? How can they help if they want to sponsor it, if they want to, you know?
They can go to amandelaproject.org. And find out more.
Did you say that again?
Amandlaproject.org.
Amandla, as in Amandla.
Yeah.
Okay, amandlaproject.org.
And so I'm here now just filming the video. I'm not planning to do a whole lot of fundraising in South Africa, but I'm going to use that video
too. Oh, please. If people have got money to give, you're not going to say no.
Definitely not.
All right. Amandla Project. Rand, dollars. You'll take yen. You'll take Russian rubles. You'll take whatever you can get.
Yeah.
Sure, of course. It's a great project. So if you want to get involved, go to amandlaproject.org, and you can find out more about Alex. If you follow Siv and Gessie on social media too, you'll see he's basically – Siv is leveraging all the publicity he can get out of having a disabled friend.
It's excellent PR.
No, definitely. Definitely.
You can watch me consume all three meals of the day.
Nice. I feed the cripple.
You can't possibly because you're too busy filming. Your hands are full.
He's a bit of an addict, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's addicted to, yeah. Because Siv was telling me in New York when I saw him there just a couple of weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, he was saying, oh, I'm kind of out of love with social media. Not really my thing anymore. He did. And look at him now. He's back on there like an addict.
You know, I can unapologetically say that Alex Stone is one of my favorite humans in the world. And I would love people to experience what I experience day in and day out. He's one of the only human beings I could ever hang around with as long as I do. I spend an average of 9 hours. The only time we're not together 9 days a week is when he's sleeping. And today we're sleeping in the same bed. So 24
that's so
hours
sweet. Does he bother you while you're sleeping?
I'll wake up and the phone is like right over my face. He's filming me. He's doing a lot.
Poor man, you have no privacy.
You deserve to be crippled for that comment.
Does he? Oh, what a horrible thing to say. Does he follow you into the bathroom?
I have to quickly shut the door, and I'm not the most nimble person, so it's a struggle.
You're in a wheelchair.
I'm gonna kick your ass when we flipping have a crawling race.
So there's going to be excitement. This is great. I would love to see this. Are you going to do a crawling race here?
Yes, we're going to do it here.
We would love to do it here.
So what we will do is we're going to clear out the big room here at cliffcentral.com, and we've got a massive big room, which is a TV studio, and we're going to make Siv and Alex do a crawling race later on.
Going to beat you so easy.
This is like the one piece of physical activity where I can have common ground with Siv.
You're going to win.
Yeah.
You're convinced?
We should take some wagers before it starts.
All right. And then, I'm happy to place a bet on you, Alex. I would say you're going to win.
I'm going to beat you so bad.
I will put $100 on Alex winning.
I will beat him so bad.
Yeah.
I told him, he said to me, I told him I crawl, I'm black, I've been crawling all my life. He says, I'm going to beat you so bad, Alex.
So anyone want to place $100 on Siv?
No, first of all, on your – Alex, this is ridiculous. On your website, the picture of you and Gareth looks like it was taken with like a 3110 back in like 1987. I mean, your other pictures are okay. And then, I mean, look, there's a lovely picture with you and a dog on Table Mountain.
I wasn't planning to give out the website today because I made the website myself.
Oh,
the picture's disastrous.
I've trained you a lot better than that, my friend.
So I mean, can we at least give you a high-res pick today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Go along to the Amandla Project.
If you win the fight, you get a better photo.
You go along to amandlaproject.org and you can see a really low-res photograph of me and Alex.
Yeah. Imagine how white Gareth looks in a low-res picture.
It looks terrible.
I'll have you know, I'm blacker than Meghan Markle, all right?
And
Mariah Carey.
Giving you some street cred up in here.
Man. Yeah. All right. So listen, we've got a lot of news stories to get to this morning, but Siv Ngesi's been so on fire already. He's furious about Manusi Gigaba, thinking he can just resign and get away with it. The EFF this morning releasing a statement. It's always worth catching up on some real news stories, and this is a press release from the EFF. They say, EFF welcomes the resignation of Malusi Gigaba the liar.
Mm. What is the official? Hypocrites.
Yeah.
Also.
Yes, of course.
These guys are opportunistic hypocrites, yeah.
They say the economic freedom fighters welcome the resignation of the disgraced Home Affairs Minister, Malusi Gigaba, the liar, who has been found by a court of law to have lied under oath. His stubbornness to maintain office, despite the undeniable evidence against him regarding the Fireblade Airport saga and his blatant disregard for the rule of law, have made him a dishonorable public representative and have clearly illustrated that he does not have the interests of the people of South Africa at heart. This coming from guys,
that last line's
who
great.
Ripped off the VBS bank, all those poor people in Limpopo who will never get their money back because we were too busy giving it to Floyd's brother.
What breaks my heart is that I still want to vote for them.
I can't understand that.
Do you know why?
Like the color red?
I feel like I owe them.
What?
I know. Listen.
They've probably dipped into your bank account.
Wait. And I feel like if it wasn't for these guys, there's certain things that wouldn't be on everyday media. Things that we wouldn't know if it wasn't for these guys being so entertaining in Parliament and. Like the slogan "Pay back the money," they didn't find it out, but they're the ones who made it popular. So it's little things like that. Like I feel like Zuma would have stayed his entire term if it wasn't for these EFF guys. There's certain little things that I'm like, if it wasn't for EFF,
you don't. Let me tell you. Let me remind you of something. You owe politicians none of them. You owe them nothing. The politicians owe you everything, and the politicians will never think of you the way that you think of it.
But
don't even worry. Rather, don't vote than vote for them.
UDM.
Bantu Holomisa.
I think he's an absolute Cossack god
He's a terrific human being, and he. Last time we had him in here for an interview, he very plainly put the case for why the UDM should be the party for your vote.
I voted for them last election.
Then do that again rather than the EFF. Go and listen to that. If you need any persuasion, go and listen to the interview we did with Bantu Holomisa.
I love him. And he was Nelson Mandela's go-to man.
They were super close. I mean, he was the guy who was tasked with handling the whole funeral and everything else.
But he's also looking for popularity with the EFF now.
You know what? I think there are a lot of marriages of convenience that are happening because elections are coming up. But what I like about Bantu Holomisa, call me old-fashioned about this, but he's had the same woman in his life.
Just like me.
He's never given up on her. He's never cheated on her.
Your mother doesn't
care. There are no stories. You will hear no stories about Bantu Holomisa philandering around.
Yeah.
And that is in some way, shape, or form an honorable thing. Yeah. I have a lot of time for that. In a world of politicians who are busy not only screwing other people, but screwing each other, left, right, and center, Bantu Holomisa
convinced me very easily. Bantu Holomisa, every time he sees me, he says, "Yar rokotinu yangol," which means, "Yar, lie to you aloud."
That's exactly right. Okay. Someone wanted to say something. I interrupted somebody
Oscar.
A minute ago. Oh my God, Oscar. All right. Let's talk about Oscar Pistorius. Siv brought
this up.
What
do you think, Alex, about Oscar?
Wait, let's tell the story. Let everybody know what's going on here. So Oscar Pistorius was allowed out of prison for the memorial service of his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Grandfather?
Yes. It's his grandfather, yeah.
And the Department of Correctional Services has issued a statement saying there's nothing improper about Oscar being let out of prison for this.
But just a short while ago, there was some other dude.
Yeah, a murderer.
He's also a murderer. Mm-hmm. Also
a murderer.
Who was not let out because they said he was a flight risk and he wasn't allowed to attend the funeral of his own dad.
But does that guy have two legs?
Oh, you see, Alex standing up for the disabled. So, good point. So, Oscar hasn't got legs. Maybe he's not a flight risk.
But he's fast.
He's very fast.
Not without the blades.
Okay, good point. I mean, should we even be discussing this? Should Oscar be allowed to attend his grandfather's memorial?
What are your feelings?
No. It's a person's old. He's going to die anyway. And secondly,
no, the old man's dead already.
Yeah, but he was going to die anyway. And a memorial service, really? Get a Skype call, man.
That's what I was just thinking. They could do like a video feed.
Yeah, I could Skype him in.
I don't know. I think it's blatant flipping stupidity.
I mean, if you're doing time, you're sacrificing some privileges.
Well, that's it. Even sacrifice is kind of a nice word around it. If you commit a crime, there are certain things you should be revoked. And part of it are the certain freedoms of choosing to go and mourn
a member
of your
family,
whatever
the case is. Nelson Mandela wasn't
allowed
to bury
his son. That's right. Yeah.
Exactly. I didn't even know.
Certain freedoms taken away.
Like, they make it sound like someone from HR is speaking here. They say he was granted compassionate leave.
Compassion some more!
He didn't have compassion. With gun in hand, cock in other.
Shoot a flipping warning shot. Yeah. You know, the only thing that makes me feel sad about the Oscar case is I keep on thinking to myself, if I ever did such a thing, please don't read out my WhatsApps on national television.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Don't go into the groups.
Don't go into my WhatsApp.
All right, well, guys, I think we're all in agreement about this one, but shout out to Hendrik, who actually did die. He was 101.
Oh, the old man?
Old man, he died.
He got to 101.
He got to 101, huh? And then that was it. He got dismissed.
I won't lie. With a name like Hendrik, you deserve to die. I'm sorry.
You've said some terrible things this morning. Terrible.
Hendrik, or Opie, had 25 grandchildren, 35 great-grandchildren.
And a murdering grandchild.
Yeah. Oh, One murderer.
No. Hey, correction. Oscar's brother was found, murdered a woman and drove away. Hit and run.
Yeah.
Was trying to hide it. There's two murdering grandsons.
Okay, right. So Hendrik had 25 grandkids. Two of them took a life. I mean, Steph, you're splitting hairs here.
It's like 8%.
So 8% of them were bad.
I mean, I'm on fire today.
8% of his grandchildren were terrible people. That's very interesting.
It's a very strong number.
Please, everyone listen to this podcast, please.
Oh my God. I think we're going to have to delete it.
And also, Hendrik went through the most this year. His wife, Kathy, who was 92, also died this year.
Sure. Oh. But he had a young wife, huh? Hot young wife.
Hot young wife.
9 years.
Oh, sure. All right. All right, there's so much to get into this morning. You know, Monica Lewinsky was on TV not so long ago saying that she doesn't want to talk about the Clinton years anymore. Yeah. She's sick of being this woman in the White House, and that's her whole story. And then they went and commissioned some terrible documentary that she's in about the Clinton years. Do you want to hear about this? Listen to this clip quickly. This is Bill, by the way. Obviously, Bill Clinton. So here he is. Listen to this.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again.
The president adamantly denies the allegations.
There were always narratives of secrecy in this relationship.
There were other women.
Bill Clinton harassed me and told me, let's keep this between ourselves.
This was a flirtation which was escalating.
Every day is a cliffhanger with this administration.
Day after the election, there were people that I was associated with who were dedicated to upending that administration.
Republicans were salivating.
The thing that's painful is that 20 years later, we are still paying the price for that story.
Two men stepped forward and flashed their badges at me.
I kept hoping that he wouldn't dare cross the line into perjury, period.
The House is exhibiting articles of impeachment.
Bill Clinton handed the sword to his enemies.
The Clinton Affair, 3-night event. Begins Sunday at 9.
Wow, a 3-night event. How does that sound, huh? It's exciting.
Well, that was like most of Bill's affairs, really.
Oh. Yeah.
They were all three-night events.
Three-night event. That's right. Well, if you want to talk to the star of the show, Bill Clinton, you're very, very lucky. He's going to join us in a moment. Oh. Speak to President Bill Clinton about that new show. And I think a lot of people have questions. It's been a couple of years now. Mm. Let's welcome him to the show. He's also Alex's former president. Alex, are you pleased that he's able to join us this morning?
This is such a nice surprise and a huge honor.
Isn't it great? So Alex's former president, Bill Clinton. Mr. President, what a pleasure to have you. Thank you for talking to us this morning.
I'm so happy to be here. I've been maligned and I've been misrepresented for a long time. And thank you, Ben, for acknowledging that I do a 3-night special.
Yeah, well, you always wear a man of stature in that department.
I pride myself on it. It's one of my most impressive characteristics. Wow. I do it so well. So, Alex, welcome to South Africa, which is my home away from home. It's where I like to come before they lock my wife up. And sometimes I like to be here when I could get paid a couple million dollars to make a speech.
That'd be nice. Bill, I've always had a burning question. I know you're a vegan, and I wonder how you get your protein.
Well, I certainly give off a lot of protein. I'm a sharer. So I do what I can to help everybody else who has protein deficiencies. But, I eat a lot of soya. And sometimes Hillary will give me a mouthful of gravel, and maybe there's some earthworms or something in there. But otherwise, it's hard. Why do you think I look so terrible? Have you seen how badly I've aged?
It's pretty bad.
I mean, George H.W. Bush, a very old man. He's 1,500 years old. Looks better than me. If you look at pictures of us, he was the president before I was the president, and he looks much, much younger. Now, that shouldn't happen. That's because I'm a vegan.
Oh. Okay, but Bill, aren't you a bit tired
now? In any case, Hillary would turn you the hell off of meat and fish as well.
Wow.
Don't tell her. Is she going to hear this? Because then we must delete that, edit it out of the podcast.
She could, Mr. President, so let's just make sure.
I like the way Sia has an American accent now as well. Oh, so black. Go to America for 6 months.
You know, I was the first black president, Mr. Ngesi. I was the first black president of the United States.
Oh?
That's right. I played the saxophone. I had a lot of black voters in the South. And I used to go to black churches. That's how I'm the blackest man since and ever since that moment. Even Barack Obama could not come close.
Do you know when I knew you were black? Because I saw the other day you were on stage and you were looking at a lady's ass while she spoke.
My nigga. I gotta go, guys.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Listen, don't you listen to that trollop, Monica Lewinsky. She's just all that she should be known for is that cigar. Don't listen to her, okay?
That is it from Mr. President.
So good Lord, what the hell was he doing there? I thought that was quite inflammatory what he said.
I agree, but then again, he's just comfortable where he is, I guess.
Wow.
That's so
let
good.
Me save you the whole 3-night special and rather give you the two juiciest things from this whole docuseries.
It's I think called, we just got those from President Clinton.
Straight from the horse's mouth, really. So the series is called The Clinton Affair, and I love the fact that Monica Lewinsky has been saying for the longest of time, I don't want to talk about this. This is not who I am. I'm past this now. And as soon as they hang a fat check in front of her, now she'll spill all
Listen,
the beans.
Let her get that fat check. Yeah. This poor woman's life has been ruined.
Do you blame us here?
She's known for this and only this. If Monica Lewinsky gets a nice payday after how many years, I have no problem with that. And I've got to tell you, she looks really good in this documentary. Mm. She's got her hair did.
Yeah,
she's a self-assured and confident woman who's had to deal with an enormous amount of shit. And I think she's not only allowed this money, but she's allowed to redesign her life now. Let her get out of this. Isn't it worth giving her a second chance?
With this money, she can just say, right, I'm done. Move to Greece, get some young Greek man to munch a growler every day.
Well, we hope so.
I mean, she could literally roll the dice on where she wants to go from here. And she's entitled to. She's gone through enough.
We hope so. So two juicy bits from this, ne? First thing is how this affair and relationship all started. In the documentary, Monica speaks about how she lured Bill Clinton in. Mm. She says it happened by chance one evening where she was walking past him and she actually noticed that her underwear was showing from her pants. Mm. And she glanced over and she realized, no, let me actually not tuck it back underneath.
Hi, Monica, I'm getting hard here.
Her direct quote, she says, instead of pulling my trousers up like I would any other instance, I didn't. Ooh. It was unnoticeable to everybody else in the room.
Inclement.
But except for Bill. Noticed.
Yeah. Bill's got an eye for lace. Like lace is to Bill what tartan is for Scotsman. So identify it from a mile away.
So that's when the seed was planted. Well, not that seed, but anyway, the seed of their relationship. They then started being very sneaky around the White House. Mm. And then there were whispers of the relationship within the Oval Office already. So they were rarely left alone. Supposedly, like, his staff were aware of this and they didn't want to let Hillary know, so they never leave Monica and Bill alone up until that one night when things happen, including that infamous...
I've done it since I was a boy, and I'm going to keep right on doing it until I can't do it anymore.
Well said, Bill.
Second juicy bit from this documentary. Do you know that after the deed was done in that infamous blue dress, no one had the audacity to tell Monica, like, honey, you have something on your dress there. She says she walked past several people after that was done.
Oh, man.
And she only noticed...
That was her something but Mary moment.
Oh, shame. She only noticed at Thanksgiving with her family when she pulled the dress out again. And she put it on, and as she was about to go to her family, she noticed.
I heard
the stain on her dress.
I heard she only saw when she played Laser Quest again and the UV light exposed her.
Such a nerd thing to say.
You know, she's a Laser Quest junkie, as Monica Lewinsky.
But look, she's not holding anything back at all. And I think more than anything, it's the wording and the phrasing she uses. So before how they got together in that infamous blue dress, supposedly Bill said, "You go to my office. I have something for you." And they went into the office. And as per the unwritten rule with the staffers, there was one of Bill's staff in there. Bill dismissed the staff out, saying, "Go and wait in the dining room." And so the staff member had to oblige. And they went into a private bathroom. And he says that Bill handed her a book that was the 50 Shades of Grey of the time. It was called Leaves of Grass, and it was an intimate book, and that's how they got things started.
Like the start of the worst porno
right?
ever.
So, and her phrasing was, "I sort of stood up and I said I wanted to move past that stage, so he finally said okay, and then they finished each other off." And I think that's the phrasing that just freaks everything out.
Oh my god,
out.
Wow.
Yeah, so Monica's just letting it all go right now. So,
I'd love to know how crooked Hillary approaches this. So, like, they're having dinner, right? Like, people. I mean, they might just be normal enough to have dinner with each other. Imagine crooked Hillary's on her phone. She goes, "Oh, another thing, Bill. Another thing about you."
No, and that, again, and that, you know, Monica. We say some terrible things about all politicians, and crooked Hillary doesn't escape that. But I feel I feel that she also got the bad end of this deal. It's not her fault. Her husband's a horn dog, and she was trying really hard to be the woman who would stand by her man, and she did that for better or worse, and now she's got to keep playing that game.
She was the song.
Sure.
She was the Dolly Parton
song.
And
good for her. Yeah. And you know what? She's also gone out and made a life for herself that doesn't have to involve Bill at every turn. And in the age of Me Too, Monica Lewinsky would be a hero if she'd done that 20 years later. But because it was 20 years ago, everybody treats her like she's some kind of office harlot. I think it's very unfair.
But can you imagine some, like, you've hooked up with someone, essentially. Let's not call this way more
right,
than it really
hookup,
is. It's a hookup, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether the fact he was a president or not, she hooked up with someone. You imagine after that, like, when we hook up with people on single days in a club, we forget about it, we go with our life. The next day, FBI was on her case about hooking up with someone.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
You really boil it down like that. How ridiculous is it?
All right, very good. Now, Siv and Alex, are you going to hang around to meet the lovely people at Proudly South African?
Yeah, I'll see if I can get some work out of them. So I'm great. I travel all over the world telling people about my country, so I think we should work together.
Yeah, well, if you haven't met Siv, Happy and Darren, you're about to meet him. And Alex, you want to meet these people,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I would be proud to be South African for a paycheck as well.
Well, okay. You know what, you two? I think I might just wheel you out of here so you don't embarrass me any more than you already have in the introductions. But we've got Happy Makumalongidi and Darren Graham. Happy is the Chief Officer of Marketing Communications, and Darren is the Public Relations Manager for Proudly SA, and they are both here to join us this morning. Like many South Africans, you're probably looking forward to December because it's downtime, a moment to relax and spend some time with the loved ones, but you're probably also looking to Christmas bonuses and spending a little bit of your hard-earned cash. I would definitely say that you should take a few moments to think about the massive spending that takes place between November and January. And now, imagine the massive change that could take place in the country if we started to channel a fraction of that spending to local goods and services. And of course, we're not asking you to do this because it's charity. We're asking you to do this because it supports local industry, because we have a tremendous number of extraordinarily talented people in this country who are producing excellent goods of international quality. And we're very, very proud in South Africa of the things that we do better than anyone else. And we should be buying local, we should be supporting local business, and to get this economy kick-started and to get it moving in the right direction, everybody has to help. Is that about right? Happy, is that more or less what we're trying to do this morning?
You are so spot on. And it's not about the fact that we're feeling sorry for ourselves, right?
No, that's awful.
I couldn't agree with you more. It is because it's the right thing to do, but because we just have great quality products that are accessible and that are affordable.
Now, it would make a difference to our economy and to jobs. But we want to talk about the positive difference that we could all be a part of this morning. And the Proudly SA team are here to join us. Darren, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Happy, it's nice to have you here. Civ is kind of a product of South Africa, and we're trying to sell him. Do you think there are any buyers?
I'm no Trevor Noah, but...
but you are proudly South African, right?
I am so proud of South African. My blood is so green.
So Proudly South African launches its festive season campaign in the middle of November every year in the hope that the message of buying local will resonate with shoppers. As long as we buy imported goods, we're buying jobs overseas, really. And the middle of November is a great time to start thinking about what you're going to do, who you're going to spend money on. And we're not talking about like little arts and crafts, as good as those are, but we're talking about really great South African products. So give us an idea of what kind of work Proudly South African's done in the last little while and what kinds of things you want us to know about that maybe we don't.
So we've been tasked with the responsibility to really, for lack of a better word, reinvent the campaign, if you like. Because we're of the view that the campaign, every South African should resonate with the proudly South African narrative. It can't be for the few. You have to resonate with the message. You have to assume responsibility. It ceases to be somebody else's problem.
Now, I think a lot of this was very easy to join and to be enthusiastic about when South Africa, you know, when we gave birth to our democracy, when we had Madiba and even Thabo Mbeki around. But I suppose a lot of the shine went off of what we think of ourselves in the last couple of years. Yeah. And so you're trying to reinvigorate that in people.
We are. And, you know, and you're so right. I mean, that's how proudly South African was born, out of the job summit that was convened by Utatu Madiba back then. And you're quite right. I mean, at the time, with the new democracy, every South African, we were all singing Kumbaya and we were just a happy people. Yeah. excuse the pun. But, you know, 5 years later, the reality kicked in. And, you know, and the reality was then our value proposition as a campaign was a little weak, if you like.
People weren't as enthusiastic.
Yeah, they weren't as enthusiastic, and they wanted to know what is it, you know, if I buy into this movement and I support, you know, the campaign, what am I getting out of it? And we've had to jazz it up and make it as attractive as we possibly could. But attractive for us is really for businesses access to market. You know, it's one thing for you to have a business or a product, but if you don't have anybody to sell that product to, you might as well shut the doors.
It is a virtuous cycle, because if we buy local, we create more local jobs. That stimulates the local economy, and whatever you're making then gets sold. So in theory, this is something everybody should support, not for altruistic reasons, not because you're trying to do the right thing or be seen to be a great person who supports your country, patriot or any of that stuff. It's because the local economy is your economy.
It's funny, I was in the States last year and it was interesting speaking to people. I don't think I met one person that was a fan of Trump, and everybody apologized for Donald Trump, but they were proudly American, and nobody in America conflates politics, because politics come and go, politicians come and go, presidents come and go. Nobody conflates American politics with being with their greenback or the eagle or the star and stars and stripes or their national anthem.
But we've still got to learn how to separate that stuff out
and just be proudly South African because.
Right, we put way too much in our politicians.
She said J. I like that. Good job, Happy.
I know. 10 out of 10.
So if South Africans channel their seasonal spend to products and services made in SA, we might be able to make that a reality. In terms of first converting attitudes and then actually investing in our own economy.
Mm.
Is that about right? I mean, we're sitting with unemployment of what,
27.5.
And how persistent is unemployment? You know, it really is real. Mm. Is real. Everybody knows somebody who's unemployed.
Yeah.
And but interestingly enough with the recent research that we did with Massmart and Brand South Africa, we found that South Africans are saying if they understood and appreciated the economic impact that there is when they buy local, they do it, even if the price was a little bit more.
But I mean, we've got things like, when is Black Friday? When is the Black
week
Friday?
On Friday. That's exactly. 5 years ago, it meant nothing in South Africa.
Now it's huge.
Now 66% of South Africans said they will be spending 1600 rands or more on Black Friday. 33%, I think, or around that said they would be spending for Christmas presents ahead of,
you know, that's fascinating.
It's ridiculous.
Celeste here in our office was telling me that she knows people who've actually taken off work on Black Friday.
Oh, to go online and just,
well, not even to go online.
To go to the shop.
Go to the shops or to go online, I suppose, and to spend. So it's become a madness. It's insane.
It's crazy.
You've had that in America forever, right?
Yeah,
Alex?
there are stores that open like on Thanksgiving, so people are skipping their like dinner with their families to go get the deals now. And like at Walmart, they lock the workers in to set up the store and don't let them out until it's.
Wow.
Yeah. It's intense.
Look, we've inherited something wicked from across the sea.
Halloween and Black Friday.
But it is an opportunity for us to support local business and local industry.
And we saw a gap because about 2 months ago, we launched August 21st, we launched our online platform, a Proudly SA online platform, which is a gap that we identified. So there's an online platform where you can shop strictly
Proudly South
African products. Made products, and what a better way to shop on Black Friday online.
That's proudly sa.co.za, right?
Or you can go to rsamade.co.za.
Okay, let me go and look at that.
Okay.
rsamade.co.za. All right, so people are going to get, in some places, a 13th check. People are going to have this Black Friday spending. Mm-hmm. Now, in 2018, 66% of South Africans are expected to spend an average of 1,600 rand on Black Friday bargains. Mm-hmm. According to one credit card company, the sale of toys, clothing, and electronic goods goes up by 51%.
Yes.
And we make all of those here. All of those you can find here.
Yeah.
It's not like it's products that you can't get, like cell phones or. But even Hisense makes cell phones locally.
This is amazing. All right. So we've got different categories on RSA Made. We've got arts and crafts, books.
Yes.
Baby and toddler, construction, electronics, fashion, furniture, games, health and safety, health and beauty, beverages, food, and tons more.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. And you go on here, what happens? You just treat it like any other online store, except that you're supporting the local economy.
And all the service providers to the website, the delivery, courier company, they're using, what's it, three little words? What's that?
Yeah, it's like a geolocation.
That's a South African app. Yeah. That's South
all
African invented.
Is, yeah.
So they've gone completely with local service providers as well. So it's, what is it, click and...
And you can actually sign up as a vendor. You can also go on and create your own wish list.
Yes.
Yeah. The vendors are all exclusively proudly South African member companies, though. But you can go and apply to be a member on that through the website.
Because remember, they've got to go through a vetting system because it's one thing for us to say to South Africans, buy local. But we've got to make sure that those products are quality products. So they've got to go through our vetting system.
So we're going to have billions of rands spent. If you can harness this and buy locally, then you can obviously create many more jobs, and some of them will be retained, but more will be created. Mm-hmm. And we want to highlight a whole lot of these fantastic goods. Just give us an idea of some of the products that are on here so that people can check them out. We've got electric bikes. We've got TVs. We've got all kinds of things that are made here in South Africa, right?
There's such a huge variety from
fashion. Huge, huge, huge category.
That's a big section, a huge section. of street fashion, of upmarket fashion. We've got lots of wines, we've got lots of chocolates and toffees and creams and potions and lotions and in the beauty section. It's a really wide variety.
You can sell achar on there.
Achar.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You can. You can sell achar on there. You can sell condiments.
Proudly RSA on the Gigaba's thing just across the
table.
Oh, you didn't go there.
That's proudly South African product.
We not don't know.
So so we will continue to highlight the fantastic local goods and services that you can begin to support this festive season, and we'll be talking to some of South Africa's most fascinating entrepreneurs right here on the show over the next 4 weeks. Tell me about what that is, Happy and Darren.
So, thank you. We're going to be doing a podcast series with you, which will be great. You'll be speaking to them. And we've got such a variety of members from big internationals, multinational companies, but whose manufacturing base is here, to little entrepreneurs. The Achar story is a great story.
But I would imagine if people know what the stories are behind these products, you'll also fall in love with the people.
With the people, exactly.
And then you're not buying it out of a sense of charity or having to be patriotic. Again, you're buying it because you found out that someone's story of triumph over disaster just unbelievable dogged determination.
Tenacity, exactly.
Yeah. And it's ordinary people like, you know, all of us that you know, that had an opportunity or grabbed an opportunity that came their way. I mean, one I'm hoping that we'll be profiling her, a lady whose tragedy turned into an amazing story, who was, you know, in a very bad car accident, and months later she tried to pick up the pieces and what
but not. She got some and kind she, of payout from pay, the road accident.
Yes, and she plowed all of it into her business. And today her product is enjoying shelf space at big retail stores.
This is a beauty product.
Yes, that's a beauty product. Wow. So, you know, stories such as that. You know,
we've got a milkman in Soweto, a guy who's beneficiating a lot of beneficiation with his milk and buying from cooperative farms. Mm-hmm. So that's the milkman of Soweto. We've got somebody who's making custom made bags for wheelchairs for disabled people.
Now you need that, Alex.
Yeah.
Alex,
stunning bags.
Can we hook you up, Alex?
Alex, if you don't go on to RSA Made and buy one of those bags, we're chasing you out of the country. We're going to get the new Minister of Home Affairs, whoever that is, and chase you the hell out.
Listen, there's a wonderful story of a young guy who, that had knocked at every door that you can possibly think of. But to cut a long story short, worked from his back room in Soweto, and he's a jeweler. And today he's grown his business. You know, he's done so well that today he's a supplier at Soho Group, and he's opening his first shop at Monte Cassino in February. And now has a big factory out in Boksburg. So, you know, stories like that we want to share with the public. You know, to say that as much as we're a country with loads of challenges, we've got great stories to tell.
We have amazing
stories to tell.
Do you know that, Siv, you can go on there and buy some construction materials? Did you know that?
I can't wait. When I get land, I want to build houses.
When we finally give you some land, right.
So we buy quite a bit over the festive season. You can buy charcoal.
Charcoal briquettes.
Ladies, I think I'm the guy for the job. Ladies, just let's talk afterwards, and we can see what work we can do.
Oh, fantastic! It starts with you coming to the launch tomorrow.
Doesn't Jason Goliath work with you guys? Proudly South African stuff.
No, he should.
Oh, he definitely. Yeah, yeah.
We all should. But this is the point, right? Is we all should do this because, as I said earlier, it makes perfect sense. It's not altruism. This is about you supporting your own local economy in order to grow South Africa's economy internationally, but also to plow money back in.
Yes.
And then those people who you're buying from will end up buying from you.
Mm, absolutely. Exactly. And create demand, because the reality is if we buy from elsewhere, we're creating demand in that country.
Correct.
And creating a job in that country.
Enough of giving China your money.
Yeah.
All right?
Exactly. Yes.
Really. As much as they helped build that bridge to Maputo.
Yeah. I was on that bridge just the other day. I drove across the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. You've already been across it?
Yes, on the day after it's opened.
I got an email from a guy who said that he actually crossed that bridge the other day too, and he says it's the best thing ever because it's cut his journey from 6 hours to 90 minutes.
Okay, I only went to Katembra and back.
That's amazing.
I went there and back to see how far I
went. Well, listen, this is terrific, and I'm very, very pleased that we're doing this series with you. We'll get to hear the stories of people behind all of these amazing entrepreneurial journeys. And you can hear more by listening to cliffcentral.com. Keep an ear out for when we launch the podcast series. And in the meantime, go on to RSA Made. Go and check out some of those amazing products that are on there. And get out there and support the local economy. You know, there are other products that aren't necessarily listed on the site. But there are people making things all over that are authentic and original and creative and brilliant. And that either solve problems or just look really good.
Yeah.
Go out there and support.
Absolutely. And my parting shot is, if you decide to walk into a store and, you know, want to buy a proudly South African product, if it doesn't have a, you know, the proudly SA logo on it, it's okay. You must just look out for, you know, made in South Africa.
Just don't look for made in China.
Yes, just don't look for made in
anywhere else.
Yeah. Made in South Africa. That product is good enough to be given a chance and to be bought.
Damn right. Yeah. Alex is going to take home a huge bag of stuff.
Yeah.
He's going to force the Americans to buy more.
Look out, Lance Armstrong. I'm going to start biking with that.
There we go, the electric bike. Well, that would be quite something, Alex. Yeah. I'll tell you what. All right, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Darren. What a pleasure to meet you both and to have you here this morning.
Thank you,
Alex,
so
Siv,
much.
Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Always good to see you.
Cool, man. It's great to be here.
What are you doing today? What are you going to film Alex doing today?
Well, we're about to do the race out here, I thought.
We're going to do the crawling race, which is going to be very exciting, on the carpets here at cliffcentral.com. Siv's knees are going to be worn right down after that. It's going to be very difficult for him.
I've got calluses on my knees. He's about to fall.
This is a very serious challenge, so we're going to have all of that with the Rocky theme music as well. Don't forget our final, our new episode of Decrypto, which is brought to you by Luno today. When the Bitcoin price hit an all-time high, many people thought it was a great way to make some easy money. There were stories about people who made a fortune overnight. Local and social media was full of clickbait get-rich schemes, and you heard some of these stories, you couldn't believe them. Well, I spoke to a guy who actually did become a Bitcoin millionaire at the age of 21. His name is Mpodagada, and that is coming up at 8 a.m. today. You can hear about his story or all the other episodes by going to cliffcentral.com. And if you have a question about cryptocurrency for our experts to tackle, then please contact us by sending an email to contact@cliffcentral.com. Just put Decrypto into the subject and listen out for the answers in a future episode. It's powered by Luno, Africa's first cryptocurrency platform. Thank you to our guests for this morning. Here is the unnews for today, the stuff you really need to know. Malusi Gigaba has finally fallen on his sword. Fitting, really, as his sword was what it was that pushed things over the edge for him. In other but related news, conjecturally, Monica Lewinsky is about to star in a tell-all expose around the Bill Clinton affair. Though she is pretty tired of the whole story, she's happy to get paid and even has Crooked Hillary's blessing this time round. Yes, every time Bill's philandering is brought up in the news, she doesn't have to do the dishes at home. So this documentary shall have her away from the rubber gloves for many months. And finally, Phil Mickelson versus Tiger Woods is approaching, but many believe it won't have the ability to truly captivate the audience for all 18 holes. Producers of the event have some great ideas, though. On one of the holes, they're looking to line the fairway with all of the girls that Tiger cheated on his wife with. The shocker, though, is that they're doing the same for Phil on the very next hole. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day. Go out there and buy proudly South African. Make sure you support all our local products and local industries and create some jabs for South Africans, because we need all the help we can get. That unemployment rate's not doing us any favors. If you're going to stimulate this economy, don't look at Cyril and go, come on, you do it. It's up to you and it's up to me. CliffCentral.com